All right, we're going to call the November 12th Labor Committee meeting to order. It is 6:15 on Tuesday, November 12th. We'll quickly do attendance. Sean Meskey.
Julie Osmus.
Vicki Davis.
Fernando Alvarado.
Samantha Beckman.
All right, thank you all for your attendance this evening. Our second item on the agenda is public comment, and there is no one here from the public to speak to us this evening, so we'll move on to item number 3, employee personnel policy. HR Director, please.
Okay, so the first thing I have in your packet is just some requested information for clarification about the clothing allowances. So I just included each contract language and what they provide annually for a clothing allowance. And I did get a little more information because this was referring to the section we were adding about reimbursement for boots. So they had just wanted to make sure we knew what all the contracts currently offered. So right now, LALS has the $800, and that does include, I believe it did include shoes. It mentions shoes that it includes. But just, there's no one from the police department that utilizes that safety boot reimbursement. So, but I have that in there just so you can reference that. Public Works and General Unit, Public Works, they get $225 annually for clothing. And the only one in general who gets clothing are the positions listed there, the $50 for clothing allowance.
Well, I think the LALS does say boots, summer and winter,
there we go.
Shoes.
Thank you.
Yep,
so that does include boots for them, and there isn't anyone from PD who is currently utilizing that safety boot reimbursement, that policy that we talk about later. So just for reference, that's what we have for clothing allowance. And then we'd also referenced the smoking section and vaping previously when we were looking at that section. Mm-hmm. So we did have a section already addressing that in the handbook, so I included that section. So that second paragraph there, smoking of any kind, pipes, cigars, cigarettes, vaping, and chewing tobacco is prohibited while on duty and only during breaks or lunch if you're 18 or over. So we did already address that in the smoking section, so I wanted to just include that again.
Yeah, so is that just... What about chew?
Yep, and the use of chewing tobacco at the end of
the paragraph. First sentence.
Yes.
Got it. Cigarettes, vaping. Yep.
So last time was our first reading of this. Of course, this is where we make those decisions of whether we're happy with this, if we want to move it forward. So maybe we can walk through it one by one.
Yes. Drug-free workplace, straightforward. I kept all of their language. The city driving policy, I kept all their language, but then I did include our city driving policy in full that we updated last winter. I don't remember exactly when, but we updated this last winter.
What page are?
Let's see. I started where it said drug-free workplace.
Ours aren't color-coded again.
Again, what is wrong with that printer?
It's got to be one of the first three pages there.
Because I can see you have a green citing that. We do not have that. So
it's on the back side, the drug-free policy.
Oh, yeah, they're two-sided for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, starting with drug-free workplace.
Okay.
There. Okay. And then the city driving policy, the only green sentence there is see full city driving policy for additional information.
So the last sentence.
Yeah, just the last sentence was the only thing that I added.
Now, is that broken out in the official?
It should be three pages after that.
If you turn a couple pages more, you'll see that right there.
Okay.
Yep.
Cell phone use, kept everything the same that the league recommended. Safety as well. I just added the very last sentence of the safety section. All employees must read and comply with the City of Wilmer's safety manual and where they can locate that. Everyone's given a copy at orientation, and then it also is available on the W Drive for all employees to access.
Let me ask you, is it always going to be on the W Drive and always be referenced as safety policy? Or when you do your final comb through on this,
I can do a hyperlink.
Can't that just be a hyperlink to it?
Yeah.
Perfect.
I need to figure out the best way to do that. It's going to be available electronically, but not only electronically. So what I'd probably do is just make that sentence a link. So it'd stay that same sentence, but it'll just become a hyperlink to the safety manual.
That'll work.
on cell phone use, should we somehow include something about the state law of hand-free?
That is referenced in the city driving policy, which we'll get to.
Okay.
Once we get through this.
Hold that thought, don't lose it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
The safety, reporting accidents and illnesses, I just added that second paragraph from our existing policies, that employees should immediately report their supervisor any unsafe practices or conditions. And then the safety equipment and gear section, those last two sentences was added, I added to reference our reimbursement we have for safety glasses and safety boots. And we'll go through those policies in full if there are no questions on the text that will appear in the handbook.
In the safety piece, when they report accidents or illnesses,
yep.
Is there an incident report piece? Is that going to be in the more comprehensive policy?
Well, everyone has to fill out that first report of injury.
Mm-hmm.
And if the supervisor has to fill out the supervisor report. But those are the only two forms that we're required them to fill out.
What if an employee does not report that?
Does not complete the first report of injury?
Well, it says here they should immediately report to the supervisor any unsafe practices or conditions observed in a workplace.
I don't have a form for reporting that. Is that what you're asking?
Well, I'm just curious because the onus of safety should be on the entire organization. I'm just wondering why it is on just incumbent on an employee to have to report that.
We have a safety committee and we do building. I don't know the word I'm looking for. Building reviews okay. quarterly also. So that is something that we do.
Right.
But it's also, you know, as many pair of eyes on something as you possibly can.
That's good.
Kind of.
Okay.
Question.
I mean, I just don't want this to be.
Yeah.
That's our thing. The canary in the coal mine. Oh. Okay. Because if they don't report it, we don't know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
I'm going to show my ignorance here. Reporting accident and illnesses. What do you mean by illnesses?
That's just what the league language they had. Because sometimes I think they see it as you can get like a respiratory illness from inhaling certain things at work or carpal tunnel or, you know, it's not just I have a cut or a broken arm. It's more than just
okay.
that.
But it has
to
happen at the
accident.
Job.
Yes, it still
right.
has to be job
okay.
related. And if it is an injury like that, they go through a whole process of certifying it is actually from work and not from anything else.
I know this isn't an insurance policy. I understand what it's personnel and all that, but is there a definitions page or anything like that?
We do have a definitions page for the handbook.
Okay.
That does go through, you know, core hours and unions and that.
Then we looked at that.
Yep, we did that. That was one of the first sections we did, so that was a while ago.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I didn't recall that.
Yeah, it was probably last February.
It was a long time
yeah.
ago. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Okay, so we can come back to that if we need to.
Yeah.
But then the next one is we have the city driving policy then in full. So this one we'd updated last winter, and I did add under item number 6 all federal, state, and local laws, because that was also a request from last yeah. time, too.
And were there a lot?
I didn't
you
even
didn't
know
to
see.
Nope, but there
I
are
just
some.
Added federal.
If there's even one, we have to, we
yep,
should put it on.
It's covered.
Okay, got it.
Otherwise, yeah, this was updated recently, so no other changes were made. And then we have the safety equipment gear policy. It's right after that.
Mm-hmm.
And that one, I did add the sum of
to that yeah.
sentence. Yeah, clarification there, because it's up to $175 for the boots. That's where they max out.
Yep. And again, for those that were not at the last one, there was a push for the previous council, and a lot of people are new where they were talking about negotiating clothing out of contracts. That's why we got the contract language that is currently for clothing, because safety boots is earmarked specifically in here because of the safety purposes and not a negotiated piece. But we did put a number now. I mean, increase that number, but it is now a firm number in that they will reimburse some of those expenses for that equipment. If you want to buy better boots, you certainly can, but we'll be covering $175.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How often do we look at that number?
So it does have, the time limit is not a specific period of time. It says it's subject to the discretion of the supervisor for
I'm not saying that. I mean, if they're using the boots and they have to go through them every 6 months, they go through them every 6 months. What I'm asking is, how often do we review that number?
That's all the information that I have, is that in 2015 it went up $50. Okay. I don't know historically beyond that what we've done.
We're about 5 years out now.
Right.
And things are not going down in price. I mean, there's probably a mechanism to think about doing that, you know.
I mean, there's always, I don't want to muddy the waters because I think we already have this in front of us, but I mean, you could certainly go to a percent of the boots and then you never have to change it if you're comfortable with the percent. I mean, that a lot of these things in here, we've kind of do those, try to get some of that stuff so you don't have to revisit it all the time.
Right.
But this
right.
is one of those things, yeah, that, I mean, the 175 could be outdated fairly quickly.
Right.
Depends on what kind of boots you're buying. That the head of the department can let you know about how much boots are.
Yeah.
And let you know.
Yeah, they could certainly request an increase.
Yeah.
But I mean, right now, I mean, this is the where the number is. I don't have a problem with the number, but mm-hmm. if you were looking for something that you didn't have to change the number all the time.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like you said, a percentage would be.
Or after a review by the department chairs or heads or whatever you want to do.
Right. Well, something to
or
think about.
Or tie it to some kind of a state policy, but there isn't.
Yeah, exactly.
That.
Mm. I mean, because you could have tied it contractually, you could have thrown it there, and then it's reviewed every time there's a new contract.
Yeah.
But this is a broader safety umbrella, so.
Just have to keep an eye on it, and if boot prices go up, revisit it.
Right.
Any other comments on that section? For safety equipment and gear policy?
No.
All right.
Okay. That is the last part of the 11th section. Then everything, well not everything, but the next 7 or 8 pages are just all of the old policies that we're replacing.
All right. Labor Committee, what is your wishes for Section 11? Do we have additional questions, concerns?
We make a motion that we advance it to the full City Council for their review and approval.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to move Section 11 to the Council. Discussion. Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, that will be on the next agenda for the council, and thank you. Our next item on the agenda is miscellaneous policy updates, which is the next in your packet.
All right. These are the last dozen or so policies that were left in our handbook that the League of Minnesota Cities did not have a reference to in their form handbook. So I included them all here with a few updates, and then there's also a few I'm proposing that we discontinue. But I'll just take you through these last couple sections, starting with a page that has nepotism on the top.
Okay. And so just to clarify, this is actually section 12, which means this is the first reading of these?
Yes.
All right, so everybody understands. Although I may have made the statement that we had our last we had our last official section last council meeting.
Right.
There shall be another.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And last.
Yeah.
Bluffer.
Well, and I was and sorry. a lot of them I just copied them into our new format, so they're not really any changes. So it's up to you if you're comfortable moving them forward ahead tonight or if you want 2 weeks to look at them and then bring them back. So I'll leave it up to you what you're comfortable with. So starting with the nepotism one, the only thing I changed was just removing the last sentence. Otherwise, we'll just keep that policy and plug it into the handbook.
What's the removal of the last sentence?
So they specified that you couldn't have a family member supervising one another within the same department. It wasn't really necessary to differentiate that. We'll just say we're not going to have family members supervising one another. End of sentence.
Okay.
And then we can remove the last sentence because that one was referencing, well, if you're related to the city administrator and you're a department head, you can't have that either. So just by removing that sentence, it does the same thing. I was just cleaning it up.
So the one sentence covers the hierarchy of everything.
Everybody, yeah, rather than within the same department. Since technically the administrator and department heads aren't in the same department, it was just messier.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't change the meaning, I just cleaned it up.
And then what happens if somebody gets married?
Oh, what happened is you'd normally just assign them to a different supervisor. You just have to make sure family members aren't supervising one another. You'd have to have someone else that they're reporting to.
But you can have them at the same level.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
So either move them, promote them, demote them.
Yeah. Figure something out.
Sorry, I threw it all out there.
So that one, no significant change. The conflict of interest, this whole everything here was we've already adopted. On the second page, starting with gifts, that I just added straight from our current policy. So I just added in, this was what was left over in our current personnel policy, and this is the section it made the most sense to keep it in. We actually had three different sections in our current policy that referenced gifts, so I put them all in one place and erased the doubled up language. A lot of them were saying the same thing, just in a different way.
Where does, just curious, where does the gifts of a, what is it, $5 or whatever, there's like a monetary number for it. It was, I don't know if it's just for elected folks or what the deal was, where we could receive, like when Wilmerfest comes and they have a water bottle, the fact I have to not take the water bottle because it costs too much money, is that referenced here or is that somewhere else?
That one, it's not referenced here because that was specific to elected officials.
It is just elected, okay.
Yeah, I found the statute though, like I just, because I was looking up statutes for this and I found it, but now I can't remember now.
Is
I could send it to you.
I would like that because, I mean, does it truly say it, that in an entity that the city actually supports, that's doing a city function, that we could not accept a water bottle that were made in mass?
Discretionary. Usually it's if it's discretionary.
Because I was thinking it came in with law enforcement, too, about being able to get half-price meals or free coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I can send it to you.
Free coffee.
Right.
See, I would like to explore that a little further. I know it's not in here, but it is something that rises up because every group might have to deal with this. And it just seems to me that we may be interpreting that a little more intensely than it's supposed to be.
Strictly.
Yeah, we'll just say.
Yeah.
Well, we have that at our, it's like $35 annually, the most we can get.
Yeah. Well, that's one nice water bottle and then you get nothing else.
That's it.
It just makes it, it was a very awkward, it's happened a couple times at our meeting, and it's very awkward when a group brings something, they want you to have it, and we have to then make this public announcement that we can't take them back.
We're ungrateful.
Yeah, that's kind of
like it, so if we can clarify that piece. If it's just for elected officials, that makes me fine. But, I mean, what if they try to give that to employees?
Mm-hmm. I know the statute did officially talk about elected officials, and I can send it to you, because then I was like, well, this doesn't help me, I need to know what employees can accept, so.
Yeah. So in here,
question.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what about the gifts piece here, Samantha? What about if, say, I wanted to give a gift to someone working here, is that not okay?
Elected officials giving gifts to employees. You could.
I think that's what this is. I don't think. It depends on. I don't think you're supposed to give a gift.
Okay, so what if. I'm trying to think of. Somebody ends up in the hospital and they want to send flowers. No?
We have a Sunshine Funds. I mean, places I've employed, people take in dollars for that specific reason.
Okay, so
I mean, if the council wanted to give a gift to an ailing employee, we would pass the hat and buy something. I don't think we can.
I think we can't spend money out of coffers.
Please.
A situation. Somebody, an employee here, was having a particularly difficult time, and we just wanted to buy them. We buy them some chocolates or some a little small flower vase to let them know they're appreciated and we're thinking about them. That's not allowed?
That's what I'm wondering.
Right.
Because, I mean, when it says here, and they're performing their duties for the city, they're prohibited from agreeing to accept any person, entity, except the city, the following gifts. And you added gifts.
And this was taken basically from, word for word, from, I must have found another statute or another guideline from the league, cause that's why I left it all the same.
Right.
Okay, and then it talks about food.
Oh. Yeah.
So, you know, I have brought a box of bakery goods before.
Oh, yeah.
You did it to a meeting last time.
Yes.
You probably...
Now I owe you.
I'm going to be in big trouble.
No. I mean, I think we really need to... I mean, this section we really want to clarify, because this is one where I think I'm glad we're looking at this, because we need to make this... as clear as possible, because right now I don't know what I can and can't do, and I would imagine most employees don't know either.
Yeah, and that could be, I mean, that's really touchy.
Well, I mean, the part that's cut off on the first page, that strike, makes sense to me. I know we've struck it, so maybe it's in here in a different way, but if you're thinking that that's somehow a gift, I don't, it's a quid pro quo, sorry, you know, the environment we're in now, but I mean, if that's a exchange for, oh, I've given you this now, you know, I'm expecting a vote some way, or I'm expecting some treatment.
Yeah.
I get that
right.
Elimination.
Yeah.
And I don't know how if that's clarified in here.
No. You lined out employees are also prohibited from accepting any gifts of any size or value and under any circumstances in which it could reasonably be thought to influence him or her in the course of or in the relations to their duties performed for the city.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, should that be eliminated?
That's why I added gifts to this list at the top. In the course or relation of their duties performed by the city, employees are prohibited from accepting or agreeing to accept from any person, entity, the following. And I just added gifts to that list.
Oh, instead of
having a whole separate sentence just for gifts.
Right.
Well, I think the difference is we're suggesting perhaps, at least I would be suggesting, that when you put gifts up there, that prohibits them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The part you struck allowed gifts when they're not expecting to get something back from them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To influence them, yeah.
So there's... I would hope Wilmer would remain a community and of a place where we can work in that people can give gifts just for the charitable.
Yeah.
I mean. Well, yeah. Right. After the last bus tour of the, I gave out candy to some of the gals. You know, a piece of chocolate. My, what
are we gonna do with you?
You know, but you know, that's probably extreme, right?
Can we explore? I mean, can we explore? Does the league have language that allows gifts that where it clarifies some of that, or in statute as you looked at that? Is there a hard fast rule on that? Maybe for elected officials, there's not. Is there for city employees?
The majority of things I found related to elected officials.
Yeah.
And what they can and cannot accept. I couldn't really find anything specifically about what employees can accept.
Right.
So I can keep looking.
Because I think there's a difference. I mean, an elected official, the whole idea of bribery and these things, it's too muddy. But when I think even amongst that, there is a difference that if someone's going to give me something that we actually paid as a city to have produced or help produce it, and they're basically letting us know, here's what we have, and it would be nice if you could advertise for us this way. I can't think that that's completely wrong, but I will comply with state law. It just seems like there might be some wiggle room in there. And for an employee, if I want to come in and give chocolates or flowers to an employee who's having a horrible time, mm-hmm. granted, I suppose another employee would say, well, where's my chocolate and flowers? I get that too. Yeah. But I would hope that another employee would say, well, yeah, but they've lost their spouse or a child or something else, and there's a different circumstance. Mm-hmm. I just...
Yeah, but, you know, common sense isn't common anymore.
Yeah, well, it needs to come back.
I know.
And so I guess I'd like to see some more information on this section on what's possible.
Well, I don't know if we're rereading this section wrong, but it does say the following, however, may be accepted by employees, and that's when it lists the four things that can be accepted. So just so you know, those are the four things that are allowable.
Okay.
But it does specify the food has to be given at a reception or a conference.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Right. I mean...
Which would be chocolate.
But at a conference. I think that's the idea of your swag bag.
Mm-hmm. Well, because it says, though.
And going to booths.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, again, it's or the gift is given and offered to all of their attendees, because that's, I guess, you know, everyone wants theirs. But I don't know.
Well, this is how the policy currently reads, is what's in green, with the exception of I added the gifts and I crossed out the one sentence. Mm-hmm. So that's the policy currently in place right now. So if we, what changes do you want to see to it, I guess?
Well, I know you didn't intend to do it, but by crossing that off, you restricted gifts under almost any circumstance unless they conform to these, which maybe not the ones that we want to use.
Okay.
But I don't want to throw it out if there's a way to clarify when, and maybe you add another bullet point on here of where gifts can be given that are specific.
Well, we can just reverse that change, remove gifts and keep that sentence.
You can do that too.
That is fine.
But, I mean, do you see members of the committee chime in? This is the first reading. We can always.
Yep.
When you were looking at stuff pertaining to elected officials, was there anything in there in that language that could cross over and be applied to the manual?
It was a lot stricter, in all honesty. The things that elected officials can and can't do was a lot more strict than sample policies I'd seen from other companies for actual employees. It was much stricter than this.
Well, there like monetary value? Because, I mean, that value has been thrown at us a couple of times. Is there a number?
I can't remember if I've seen an actual number.
Five or 20.
It was like real minimal.
It wasn't, I think it's $5.
I have to look again.
Well, statute.
Well, I just remember that's why the bottles were $4.99. I can, if that, whatever the number was, I remember if you take a penny off, that was what it cost to make things.
Wow.
Yeah, I can definitely send that out regarding elected officials and what they have. The league had a whole data sheet on it. So.
Well, maybe we can look at that and see if there is some way to figure out a way to refine and clarify gifts for employees.
Okay.
Let's please not muddy it with, I mean, we can't compare elected officials to the employees.
Right, that's right. Well, I understand that, but there is maybe language that could be shared. You ought to, the other thing is, if you don't know whether it's a gift or something, ask somebody. Maybe, you know, is this a gift? Is this $5 water bottle a gift? Well, if it was $5.01, yes. $4.99, no. You know what I'm saying?
What?
You know, so if you don't know, ask the question. Maybe you want to put that in there somehow. I don't know how you word it.
Yeah.
Is that, you know?
Yeah. Maybe. So we will get some additional clarification on this section.
Okay.
If we can't get it too clarified, maybe we may move the shift the language back. But I do know and appreciate what you were doing on there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
talk to a supervisor or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Work. Okay. Personal telephone calls and mail. I just added the one sentence because we did literally have a one sentence policy regarding mail. Uh-huh. So I just added that into this section. The appearance section, I added the last three paragraphs from our current personnel policy about providing clothing to employees with employee identification. We had a separate clothing policy, so I just included that under appearance.
Mm-hmm.
The deferred compensation, that's just a section I will add in after the para section of our handbook, since it's just another retirement savings option. I did make some tweaks to it. You can contribute on a pre- or post-tax basis, so some of the language they had in there wasn't actually correct. And then the minimum, I put in the minimum because the maximum you can put in every year changes. Well, not every year, but changes pretty frequently. So I just erased the maximum that employees could put in and change it to human resources, because that is, don't turn those into finance anymore.
Can you put in that, a reference to that maximum and where it will be addressed anyway?
I could. I certainly could.
Well, I'm just wondering.
No one ever gets close to the maximum, so that's why I didn't think it was worth
including. Until you get that one who says, I'm getting close to retirement, deferred comp, and load this baby up. But there is a limit, and those are usually, my experience, are set by contract, but I don't know how they're set here.
I think the maximum this year is, I don't know how long ago this was updated, but the maximum you could put in this year is $18,000. So I assumed we wouldn't have anyone, and then you get another $6,000 if you're 55 or older.
But who sets that?
I don't know.
I would think it's a federal thing.
It's the state of Minnesota, so it's a...
Yeah, it'd be state or federal.
Because I know it moves, but you just say, for information on the max, please see whatever it goes to, or reference the Minnesota Deferred Comp Program.
Sure.
Yeah. But it, you should be...
I know that nobody, but all somebody's going to say, well, I wanted to put $20,000 in, and I should be able to because my policy just says I had to have $10 a paycheck. Not that that would happen.
Yeah. Yeah, there'll be a fly out there.
So now there's $2,000 you owe me because I was going to put that in deferred comp. And
Now, I've got a question about, maybe this is an appearance. Are we, like at Caris Health, everybody's got a name patch and they got their first name on it. Do we have anything like that?
Nope.
I'm required when I go out in the field to wear my name badge with a picture on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying we have to be that specific, but it might be nice to know who we're dealing with.
You have.
I thought you meant like a name tag. Everyone has ID badges. Sorry.
No.
With a picture on it.
Okay. Yeah.
You have one as well, don't you?
Yeah.
One.
Yeah. I have pocket ring.
All city employees have to have that. Yeah.
Yeah. All employees have that. PD might have something slightly different, but yeah.
Okay, good.
Yep.
And do they have to have that on them the entire, they have to have them with them all the time when they're working?
Yeah, it's actually access to get in the buildings to the ID badge.
Yep.
Public Work uses them to get gas. They,
can we?
You can try. Probably isn't, hooked up that way.
It's a gas gift.
Let me use yours.
All right.
Yeah, see how that goes.
Any other things under deferred comp and or appearance? All right.
And then these next, five or so policies, I didn't want to include in full in the handbook because they aren't going to apply to the majority of the positions. So the donation acceptance policy, public purpose expenditures, credit card use, and petty cash, transfer reclassifications, and working out of class policy. So all of those, I don't think we even made any changes to them. All of those are existing ones we have that I don't think need to be in full in the handbook. So I'm just going to reference them saying they're available on the W drive or ask your supervisor for more information. Correction on the donation acceptance policy, that should stay with the city clerk department. I had changed it to finance, so that it should actually stay in the office of the city clerk, but we removed that treasurer language. So I'll make sure that's fixed for the next printout. Public purpose expenditures, we didn't make any changes. Credit card use policy, I updated it. It said that credit cards will only be issued to the city administrator and department directors, and I updated that because it is issued to other employees besides the department directors. Supervisors usually have one as well. So I had just updated it so it wasn't exclusively department heads.
Question.
Yes.
Totally has nothing to do here, but I'm just curious. We went to a council training in another community, which will remain nameless. And while we were at that, they actually were serving alcohol at that, but you had to pay for it. Is that something we would never entertain that in the city of Wilmer, would we?
No, you can't use it for alcohol.
No, you can't get reimbursed. Oh. You're paying that for that part out of your pocket. So you go there, there is a meal provided.
Yeah.
And then there's a bar right in
cash
the
bar.
Right there. You can do it if you charge people to buy the alcohol. You can have it during your meetings. Is that?
Oh, you want to offer that?
No.
He's just saying it happened.
I'm just wondering. Oh, yeah. They wouldn't have been in violation of any policy because they have it at a meeting.
There was another one recently.
And it was in this particular city's chambers place, you know. It was where they have their meetings.
Yeah.
I just thought it was very odd. And I mean, all of us that were from Wilmer, we were like, I don't think so. That's not our world, so we refrained from that. But everybody else was, they are just tipping them back at this meeting. Of a city that shall remain nameless, but would we be
during the daytime?
No.
Okay.
No. It was after 5. Does that matter?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, for personal reasons, but is that that
it
would
was
not
a
be
conference? It was a conference.
No, it was a training meeting.
Oh,
it was
okay.
But it was in.
Yeah.
It was a league training.
Yeah, and it was in a facility that was operated by this city, and they had alcohol for sale there. So, I mean, as far as this, they're not using money for that. Yeah. I just thought, is that a slippery slope? Because, I mean, I've seen that in a few communities now, and I'm like, before somebody asks that we could do that here.
Yeah.
I guess I would.
Do we just have something that says you can't have alcohol on the, in the city property or something?
Or that, in
the,
that's.
Because we have that, like, at the community center and at the civic center and. I kind of
expected that was how we functioned, but when I started seeing it, I'm going, it's calls to question. Now we're looking at the expenditure policy, I get it, but this is just alcohol in general. We pass, every time somebody wants to have a license, we have to pass that. Mm-hmm. If we want to have alcohol at an event, we have to pass that. But I've seen other cities just sell it at the meetings, and I thought,
I have no idea.
Okay.
I no public money cannot be used for it, and that's all I know.
That building, though, they had wedding dances and stuff in that room. Mm-hmm.
I understand. It's also where they their council is in this same. Okay.
Multi-purpose room.
We're gonna.
You want a cash bar at the council meetings? Is what.
Yeah. For the recording, I did not say that.
Let's just put a cash bar in the council chamber.
We could really use the money. Okay. Something tells me we're going to make a lot of money at our meeting.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that.
No.
But I think why the beer, out of the pop things in the fire departments, they used to have beer in them instead of pop. They had to come out because you can't have that in city property.
See, but...
the difference is going to be that there are licensed for that in those in those community rooms.
Right.
There you go.
But weren't they wasn't that catered in? Did the person that was catering, did they have a license to sell that?
No, they weren't the ones selling it. Oh, no, no. And they informed they have that all the time. Okay. I'm just thinking, I don't want to see that here.
No.
So I'm not saying let's craft this so we can, but it is, it's odd. Obviously, the rules are not hard and fast everywhere because I've seen some things that are maybe raised my eyebrows.
All right. Well, you know, you get outsiders coming out of town. You know, they get a source of income. Not that it's going to make them rich, but yeah. Who knows?
All right.
I don't know. But actually, Brian might know more on that. Because I know he...
Oh, I've heard some stories.
Yeah, I was going to say, Brian, I wish
Newall,
he was here.
Newall, a lot of beer.
Yeah, exactly.
He has talked about some of that.
Okay, he would definitely know.
Yeah. All right, so...
Okay.
We do, I mean, I totally understand the policy. We can't use public money for that. I just wanted to know about selling it in public
places. Just having it, yeah, in available. Yeah.
At official city businesses. Yeah. I mean, it's just...
The liability and deep pocket there is just...
I think it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, if anybody who participated in those trainings that were put on by that city drives home, gets in an accident, I mean,
no,
that's just crazy to me.
Yeah.
So... All right.
Okay. You would think their city attorney would be rolling.
Yeah. Unless he was back buying. All right, let's move on to... there's no questions on that expenditure piece. We can move on to the credit card use policy. Oh, I guess we were kind of already talking about that one as well, of who can have it.
Yep. Mostly just changing department director to employee. So it wasn't specific to them.
Okay.
Petty cash fund didn't change anything, not my area, so I just left that as is. And same for the transfer reclassification and promotions policy. That one we just had in our current handbook, but the league had nothing similar to it, so again, didn't make any changes. And the working out of class policy, I wanted to bring this one up for discussion. It currently says you must be in the position of a higher salary grade for a period of 60 consecutive work days or more. I feel like I don't know if that was an oversight or if they did specifically mean 60 work days. It's usually 60 calendar days. Because this, honestly, the way we've been interpreting it has been calendar days rather than counting out every weekday and making that the 60 days. So I did want to bring that up for discussion.
So when we've had people working out of class, we are paying them based on 60 calendar days.
It's only happened once since I've been here.
I know that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was going to say either way they met the requirement, but that's how it was interpreted at the time.
That
they
was
worked,
interpreted
they did,
as calendar?
That's how I had interpreted it when I first read the policy. But then looking back at how it's worded, that technically isn't correct. Because it does say work days.
How are they compensated?
It's
That supervisor's pay that they're filling in for.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if it's a work day, of course, you would have them working more days or able to work more days than if you had it calendar days.
It would be a longer period of time if it was work days.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's how many? I mean, they're going to get a half a dozen days.
So, over 2 months, there's 8 weekends. So, 16 more days-ish.
Yeah.
But I wanted to bring it up. It's just, honestly, it's more work administratively to just go through and count the days instead of just doing 2 months. But.
Okay.
I want to bring that up.
Yep.
And then I wanted to bring this up as well, because it says employees being considered for an out-of-class assignment have to meet the minimum qualifications of the position, which seemed contradictory. It's like, well, then why aren't they applying and taking the position if they meet the minimum requirements? We frequently had employees, well, I shouldn't say frequently. I know we've had employees take an out-of-class assignment and they do not meet the minimum qualifications, but there's no other option. If you know what I mean. So I didn't think that was a good requirement to tack onto the policy, but I wanted to bring that up for discussion as well.
Not having, I didn't read this one as fine. I would like to see somebody responsible for putting somebody in over their head and if it fails. So maybe somebody in the authority can approve when minimal quals are not there. Because I don't want to set somebody up for failure. You shipped over there, and if it's a total disaster, and you didn't meet those minimum qualifications, I can say to somebody else, why did you stick them in there? Because I do appreciate the problem. Of course, you want to be able to fill that position temporarily, and it does have the bookends on that. But make sure they're going to be successful. So I'd like to see some accountability on that, that addresses that.
We could keep it and add at the end without or only if the city administrator approval or something.
I would love that. Okay. That would make a lot of sense to me. Because I totally know what you're trying to accomplish. I see the employee being hung out there if they don't have the minimal quals and it doesn't work out.
Yep.
That won't sit well.
Backing up to that 60 days, could we say 8 calendar weeks? Or...
Yeah.
I mean, 8 weeks. 8 calendar, you know.
I'm fine with either of those. That's not a hill I would die on.
Right.
Yeah. But I know I like it. Whatever makes it work, it makes it easier to be able to monitor.
Right.
Makes sense. 2 months.
I think it's, I just think it's easier to do days than weeks, just because you'll have partial weeks and
then
you have different shifts.
However you would like that to read, that would make it the most convenient, that address that we're looking at a 2-month window. And that includes the weekends.
Yeah.
Because I would imagine, probably if you're in a dilemma and you're using this, maybe there'd be even some weekend work going on.
Exactly. Well, think of law enforcement, if they're on four on, four off, and a sergeant ends up with a heart attack and is out for months or whatever. Somebody, car one guy is going to step up and take over a sergeant, and then they're going to get compensated.
Right. So I think I get it. Makes sense.
Okay.
But if that 60 days is what you want to go with, that's fine. But if you wanted to say 2 months or 8 weeks, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
However you make it work. Because it's the same amount of days.
Yep.
And we're now saying they include weekends. Okay.
Right.
It's cleaner by days.
Yep.
All right. Then the last part... is the COBRA rights, that this is given to all new hires and all new employees when they have a qualifying event or change of insurance directly from the Department of Labor language. So that will also be added. And that is it for the updated policies remaining. And then these last ones, I was basically discontinuing. Oh, yep, I did put that in there. Okay. We did technically still have on the books a mandatory retirement age, so I think we can get rid of this one for good.
Yeah, this is a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Yep.
All right.
So that one can go.
No, we have to make official action on these to eliminate them?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe, does anybody think that having a mandatory retirement age is a good idea, that you would think that we should retain this? If you do, I'd like you to not say anything at this time. Sorry, that's a bad idea. Okay.
And this one section, if you'd like to add in, you certainly can, but the religious services part, we have so many leaves we allow when approved by supervisor, paid time off. It didn't seem necessary to have a section just dedicated to religious services and getting approval to be away from work for them. It's covered in other areas, so I thought it was safe to just get rid of that sentence or two. We did have a section that just was parking reserved for future use, so we can get rid of that one.
Before you go on to the religious services, do we have a thing about on your break praying in places?
Not that I can
remember. Is that referenced at all?
Not that I remember.
Okay, because I know... And I was just thinking, school board, we used to have students that want to pray between classes, and we have a prayer room out there, and we allow certain students to go use that room at given times.
Yeah.
And it was always in the transition of classes. If an employee's on break, what they choose to do on the break, you can't control that anyway. But if they wanted to actually take a 10-minute thing to do that, that's probably not referenced anywhere, I would think.
No, that is not, for sure.
Interesting, because take the police officers. Mm-hmm. They don't have breaks. You know, they're a solid 8 hours, they're a solid 12 hours. They don't. You mm-hmm. take a break, but you're paid for your breaks because you're subject to call at any time. Mm-hmm. And I imagine then we haven't had to deal with the prayer time mm-hmm. issue yet, but that would have to be something that I suppose would be by a supervisor's discretion. But they are subject to call through that time.
I mean, if you're in the middle of a prayer and it's go time, it's go time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the restriction, I've seen at least the restriction of those things, mm-hmm. it doesn't end well mm-hmm. for the restrictor.
Yeah.
But you also don't want to have it so liberal that people will take advantage of that and not use it correctly.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a slippery slope, and I've seen it in other organizations, but they've addressed it, and that we haven't addressed that at all. But
So are you saying that we should keep this language
No, I am absolutely not. This is talking about going, I would assume.
They want to attend religious services during regular work hours.
Actually,
need approval from your supervisor, which, I mean, it's covered in the vacation section. Like, if you need to be away from work, you need to use PTO with the approval of your supervisor.
As long in that section where you... because it's in another place. But does it say, can we add us? I mean, I know we've approved that piece already, mm-hmm. but if you could add, I mean, you could put religious services if you want. I don't know if that's the right words to use, but, you know.
I think leave for any reason. I don't think you'd have to designate.
Yeah, you wouldn't even have to.
Yeah.
And is that how that language reads in the other section? I'm not familiar. I can't remember. But if it's leave for any reason, that would cover it.
Yeah.
But we want to have an out on that one. That if someone says, oh, I need to pray at X, Y, Z, well, then you say, well, that 10 minutes a shot, that tells me you're taking a half hour of leave to do that. So we're not going to restrict somebody's religious freedoms, but you are not going to get paid at that time.
And then these sections were related to continuation of coverage regarding health insurance and I believe dental insurance. I forget the two sections, but they had it in two different sections. But that was the updated COBRA notice I had here. So we can just get rid of these.
Okay. Yep. And employee right to know.
Oh, yep. Sorry, that was at the end. Yep. That is in our safety manual. Same exact information.
Yep.
So.
Mm-hmm. Any additional questions at this point or information you would want for the next time to talk about these miscellaneous pieces, either for modifying the miscellaneous or the elimination of these? All right, very good. Next item is miscellaneous. There's a lot of miscellany on here. What do we have with it? Do you have anything that's miscellaneous?
Just that there will be no meeting on the 25th, the week of Thanksgiving.
Oh,
how lame is that?
I know you really want that.
But you will be expected to put in your hour of time at home. any status update on, this has come from this committee. We did approve the council piece. Have all of those agreements been signed?
Oh, because
they weren't at the time when we met.
Yeah, yep, they've been signed by the unions, all done, and now we just need to, Brian wasn't in, so they've been signed by the unions, yes.
Okay.
All right.
Excellent.
That's done.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Nice.
Councilmember Osmus, I haven't been able to say that tonight, so.
Yes, I was just wondering if I don't suppose I could do it later. I was just wondering, how did LELS do the flip? Why?
I don't know. Maybe it's because we told them we didn't need everyone, so they're like, okay, then we will. I don't know.
I didn't know if they had taken a vote and it was like a 60-40 or...
They didn't tell us the result of the vote. But no, at our first meeting, there wasn't really just much information. There wasn't much appetite for it. But then we gave them the same offer we gave the AFSB units once we went up to 7.5. And then we're like, well, this is the new offer, so you can vote on that. And
okay. Any other new business, old business need to come before the Labor Committee this evening? All right, I thank you for your attendance this evening. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
It's moved and seconded. Thank you again. We are adjourned.